Hello and welcome to Writing Today. In this episode, I'll be doing a toolkit for fantasy story writing. Now, not too long ago, I created a writing toolkit called the Detective Story Writing Toolkit. It was a video and article that contained information, tips, and ideas for any writer wishing to write a detective story. However, it is one of the genres that really inspired me to get into writing, so it was a video and article that I really wanted to do. What I didn't expect was the video and article to do so well. It seems that this was a particular type of article and video that people really enjoyed, so I then asked them, which genre should I tackle next? And when it comes to writing, it really is a silly question to ask because, generally speaking, the answer will always be fantasy. Fantasy stories are what inspire most writers. It's the reason they get into writing. It's probably the reason they get into reading as well, as we all grew up with fairy tales. Now, I've already created courses on fantasy stories, from creating a fantasy story itself to creating a fantasy world that is in-depth. However, I've never created a toolkit, which includes practical advice and ideas that one can use to create their own fantasy story. When it comes to writing a book and dealing with these problems, I always give such general advice that is pertaining to practically every other genre and not something specific, such as fantasy specifically or detective story specifically. So this toolkit rectifies that problem by providing you with specific information that you can use to create your fantasy novel. The only problem is that fantasy stories are a pretty broad genre. When it comes to detective stories, it's more like a subgenre of mystery, so I can get more in-depth niche information out. However, with fantasy, I'm going to have to create a very long article and a very long video. Of course, that's not something that most people want. They want information in condensed bites, so I've broken this series up into three parts. In this part, I'm going to be talking about creating your world type, about naming your characters and places, and also how to establish a magical system that fits your story. So, without further ado, let's begin by discussing the world types. For fantasy writers, the world type is one of the very first elements that a writer should tackle. The setting in which your story will take place is that important. Various types might suit your story. Perhaps you have an ambiance in mind or plans to create in-depth lore, so some types of worlds will fit your story better than others. So, let's talk about the very first world type, classic medieval fantasy. The first world type is one we are all familiar with. It is the type we have seen in novels like The Once and Future King, The Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, The Inheritance Cycle, and many others. Medieval fantasy is what we picture when we think of magic, dragons, wizards, knights, and warlocks. These fantasy novels are special in the hearts of many, not just because they are novels that they have read today, but because of the fairy tales that we were told when we were young. There is an essence of old magic coupled with nostalgia that cements the idea that great fantasy novels we have read today are the ones set in times people rode horses, delved into dark caves, and laid siege to menacing castles in an effort to fight evil. These are the stories that taught us that evil cannot prevail as long as there is strength in the hearts of good people. It's a classic world type for a reason, and I could spend a lot of time gushing over its importance in fiction as a whole and not just the fantasy genre. However, let me talk about the benefits of this world type. Firstly, it is familiar. One can understand the limits of the technology of the time. It's not too difficult to explain what a sword is or what armor is, and the effectiveness of both. The times were simpler, the tools were simpler. The pictures the reader imagines come easily. Secondly, there is plenty of groundwork made in this world type already, thanks to fairy tales and other classic fantasy fiction. Whenever you are stuck in a situation, you can call upon inspiration from other works to help you forward. It could be the magical creature you use when the protagonists need a dangerous encounter, or it could be the ancient artifact that your characters revere. Thirdly, it is easier to write when creating a world from scratch. The structure of civilization, the politics of kings and queens, is a lot simpler than the structure and politics we see today. When drawing a map, establishing character affiliations, or devising the day-to-day life in your fantasy world, the amount of historical accuracy or information you need to provide is very little. You are free to shape a world and talk about only the things you want the reader to imagine. And in that way, it becomes a bit more personal as well as easier to craft. Next, we have modern fantasy worlds. To put it simply, these are fantasy worlds set in the times we live in, give or take a few decades. It is the time of skyscrapers, technology, and progress. As such, escapism is at an all-time high. People seek a different world, a different atmosphere. Thus, the trope of the main character living in a modern world and suddenly pulled into one a lot more magical came about. It's been used in books, movies, and series. I used it when I wrote my first book. With that said, these world types come in three varieties. First, this fantastical world has a modern twist where life is modern and magical at the same time. Phones are perhaps powered by ancient ruins. Amazing creatures are part of day-to-day life. Skyscrapers still exist, but they lack the logical structure that our buildings have, and instead are these gravity-defying shapes. Whatever it may be, these are the worlds where magic in its various forms are known to the world and are part of everyday life. The second type of modern fantasy, magic is not known to the world, and only a select few know about its existence. These few are of some magical breed that allows them to see and manipulate this hidden part of the world. Or they do their best to keep this magical society hidden from the average non-magical people. The third type is just like the second, but magical dimensions are part of the story. Perhaps the characters step into a wardrobe that transports them to this world, or they enter it when they sleep. Or perhaps they do a fantastic ritual and tear open a hole in reality, so they can slip into another. These types of worlds offer an easy explanation for why non-magical people could be so oblivious to what is going on beneath their very nose. With that said, there are various reasons why modern fantasy stories are so popular today. First, it underlines that sense of escapism. We all live in the modern day life, and we all seek an escape in some way, shape, or form. So, having a character to which we can associate ourselves with would be fantastic. A character who gets pulled into a far more exciting and perhaps even simpler world. Secondly, you might just like to introduce scenarios where the modern meets the fantasy. It could create this wonderful contradiction that can be both comedic or can be scary, depending on what you're going for. Of course, you might simply just enjoy the combination of modern and fantasy, as it adds a nice twist to the story. Now for the third world type. Although it is rare amongst fantasy fiction, you can create an entire world or universe from scratch. That means that everything that is used in your world comes from your imagination. You could create an entire history, including various stories over different ages. You could take elements from all forms of fantasy fiction to make your world more unique. Of course, this delves into a more surreal idea of a fantasy world, but that's not to say it doesn't work. If you have read Alice in Wonderland, or better yet, any of the works of Terry Pratchett, you know that you can create an interesting and enjoyable world with surreal themes. These worlds are incredibly freeing to write, as logic no longer plays a factor in your story writing. With other fantasy genres, limits are placed on magic and other elements to make the story more believable. But when you have a world that reads like a fever dream, there are no limits. Thus, the believability in surreal worlds is in its unbelievability. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what happens if you want to create a map of your world, one where you can track the progress of your characters or craft a nifty visual for your readers at the start of your book? There are several methods you can use. If you are the artistic type or you wish to have more hands-on approach to creating a world map, you have to settle with traditional mediums and art software. From there, it is all about drawing the map, marking the locations, naming them, and on a separate notepad, keeping track of what goes on there and the significance of that location in your world and story. However, if you want to create a map with ease, there are two services I can recommend. First is Word Anvil, a widely talked about service, but that's for a good reason. It has the tools you need to create your fantasy world and even plot your story. There are more premium services, such as Incarnate, if you feel Word Anvil doesn't have what you're looking for. However, these are all tools and services that you don't really need to use. I mean, it's nifty to have a visual aid when you're plotting the journey for your characters, but you don't need these tools to create a great story. They're only there to make some process a little bit easier, if you wish. Now, after some time, you'll have your world type selected, and you might even have a map. But now you've encountered a new problem, and it's a tedious problem that all writers face. Naming characters and places. Now, many writers today want to create a story with unique names and places. So in order to do that, most writers will create a world from scratch, and they'll make use of different naming methods in order to create unique names for their characters and places, rather than using the names that we all know today. But as I said before, this process becomes pretty tedious and becomes difficult as well, because sometimes you're just struggling to find the name that fits, a name that works for your story. Luckily, there are some methods you can use to make the process a lot easier. Of course, the very first thing I need to talk about is fantasy name generators. It is the most widely used naming tool for naming characters, besides baby name websites. Fantasy name generators is an ever-growing project with names for just about everything common in fiction today, from people to places to different genres of those people and places. Need a name for a werewolf clan, an alien race invading Earth, a small bakery outside the castle? Well, Fantasy Name Generators has all that you need. I've used it a lot more when writing short stories, because it helps me find a name quickly. However, when I find myself stumped while writing a novel, I take my time as I browse the options. I write down various names which appeal to me. If I'm using real names, I then research the meaning, say it to myself so I can get a sort of connotation from it. I narrow the list down until I have my name, but often enough, it'll be a name from Fantasy Name Generator. Now that's the easy method, but let's talk about the classic method, which is making names up, which I like to also compare to shooting in the dark. Stringing sounds together until they sound like they fit the character. There isn't much more explanation than that. Of course, there is the added step of putting the name into a search browser and seeing if it isn't already taken. You don't want to accidentally use a name that already exists, or even use a word that means something totally wrong. That's why I call this method a shot in the dark. You never know. The results are having a name, or you learn a new word. Sometimes I like to use more comedic methods, like the asterisk and oblix naming method. I take a word in English and try to make a name that sounds like it, that fits the culture and the story, but perhaps spelt differently. A method I do when I'm creating more comedic characters or a story that is more comedy-based. For example, let's say I have a character who works with rocks, geology. I would then look up rock names and see what I could use to make a name, such as basalt and lapis lazuli. Then I have Dr. Basil T. Lazuli, or Basalt Lazul. After some experimentation, I have a name that works, or at least makes me chuckle. The next method is drawing inspiration from other cultures. For more specific naming ideas, you might want to compare your fictional cultures with real ones. Most cultures will have naming cultures as well, so having naming cultures for your different societies, or world as a whole, would not be a bad idea. Basically, you would pick a sound, a syllable or two, and use them often when naming characters from that specific culture. When you're short on ideas, looking at real-world cultures will help you find the patterns, the sounds that are often used. With additional research, you'll find that most naming conventions are established by factors other than the language itself. For example, a naming convention could be used when describing someone of a higher or lower class. It might have something to do with the family profession, a time period, the gender of the person, and so on. So what is the best naming method? Well, it depends on how you want to approach the task. Do you want to be super in-depth with finding the name, or do you want to approach it simply? You could do tons of research. You could create an entire language of sounds and symbols. You could create an entire history based around it. All these elements working together to help you create the perfect, unique name. Or you could just use names we use today, like John or Judy or Sam. There simply isn't a best method for finding the name for your character. At the end of the day, you'll just have a list of names that you narrow down until you have the one that sounds right and feels like it fits your character. That's all there really is to it. You'll have a name that you feel fits that place, that character, and like I said, it'll sound right, and you'll easily associate that name with your character whenever you're writing. And hopefully the reader will as well. Now, let's end off this video on the subject that most fantasy writers like to dwell on for a long, long time, especially if they want to create a fantastic immersive world, and that is the magical system. Now, before I get into all the different types of magical systems and how you can develop them for your story, let me ask you one very important question. Do you even need a magical system? A lot of great fantasy novels limit their magical system to just monstrous creatures. You can create a world where mortal men have either guns, swords, or just their wits to defend themselves. With such a bare-bones approach to magic, you can create a more gritty story because there is a harsh limit on what characters can do. It's really more grounded as a fantasy novel. Limits, as we will discuss, are the most important thing to set in place. If you feel that magic is not necessary to the plot, then perhaps placing such a stern limit on an unbelievable world would suit your novel well. You can focus more on character interactions, devising more realistic scenarios, rather than the ones that depend on the powers of characters and the scope of your magical system. However, if you want to have a magical system, or it's a core part of your story, let's start with the very first type of magic. The most common magical system, in more modern literature anyway, is what I call the individual inner powers. It's a system where only certain characters have powers and not everyone in the world has the same potential power as another. That means there might be non-magic users. Some characters will be more powerful than others, and each character might have different powers. It's much like the superheroes we read in comics, amazing individuals with unique abilities. These abilities are then used in specific ways to give them an edge. Perhaps they have a certain weakness. That's all really up to your imagination. Another trope associated with this magical system is that it takes time for the characters to get used to their power, and through practice, they begin to truly harness them. Occasionally, during emotional highs, these characters will shatter their limits. I like these moments because if done right, the emotions are amplified by the magic, rather than the magic amplified by the emotions. It's a magical system limited by randomness. Not everyone will have the same power, and not everyone will be able to perform such amazing feats. The next magical system is much like a lost art rather than something you are born with. It's a magical system where everyone has the potential to do magic. They just require the knowledge and skill to pull it off. It's a system balanced out by its complexity, with much of the knowledge being restricted, hidden, or lost to time. Thus, few individuals pursue it, and even fewer still reach the greatness in their magical education and perform amazing feats. It's a magical system where everyone can perform a certain feat by following the right steps. Of course, this is also a system that works well in medieval fantasy, but you can also use it in modern-day settings. While most prefer to swing swords and shoot arrows, some like to light a fire with the snap of their fingers, or turn invisible when they stumble into a dangerous situation. Next, we have objects of power. These are artifacts that are imbued with magical properties that allow the possessor to perform magic. It's a lesser-used form of magical system when used on its own, but still a magical system worth considering nonetheless. The obvious limitation is that a character needs to possess this object, be it a magic staff, a ring, or a 70s hoodie. Some artifacts are more powerful than others, which is why to defeat someone possessing a greater object of power, a character needs to be creative in how they use theirs, or separate their opponent from their object. It's a quirky magical system suitable for quirky stories. I've read this kind of fantasy magical system once in a blue moon, and it works. So if this one feels right for your story, perhaps consider setting up this system for your novel. Finally, we have the most common magical system, which is all of the above. You have characters with special powers, characters with no power, but can perform some magic if they know how, or if they possess magical artifacts. In short, it's a magical system where anything goes and the only limit is your imagination. That might sound cheesy, but really it's great responsibility. This is a magical system that is easy to screw up. It can take any story and destroy it. It can turn your characters into bland messes. It can destroy any tension and dangerous moments. It can kill your novel. You need to have limits in place, so by having an anything-goes magical system, you open yourself up to the biggest failure in most fantasy novels, and that is losing the reader's interest. A reader is only interested in a story with development, and you can't have development without conflicts. And conflicts really need stakes. The reader needs to know that something can be lost and something can be gained from each encounter. Yet if you introduce a magical system that can twist and turn into anything for the story's sake, you take away that conflict's tension, and thus you take away the purpose. Limits need to be set. Constantly emphasize that fact in your story, and hit those limits whenever possible. It will tell the reader that there are times, plenty of times even, when the character can't rely on the magic in their world. The characters need to use their smarts, their personality, or any other skills they might have to overcome these obstacles. If you do this in your story, the magical system will really shine. It'll be something very important, an element to your story, rather than a cheap tool used to progress it. Now that you know the types of magical systems, how do you choose the right one? Well, that once more comes down to what works with your story. How do you want your characters to act, to live in your fantasy world? Is magic a part of their daily lives, or is it a tool only used when necessary? If magic and magical creatures are a big part of your world, then maybe using the all of the above magical system, or rituals and training magical system, will work for you. It gives you room to develop and shape your world. If it isn't such a big part of your world, then perhaps the inner powers or magical MacGuffin system will suit your story better. It's present but not intrusive, called upon in tense moments, sure, but it takes a backseat when the characters can use their cunning, their intelligence, or even their physical strength. One of these systems should appeal to you, and if you still can't decide, ask a friend or family member with whom you can talk about your project. Their perspective might help you decide. And if that fails, steal it. If your story is similar in style or ambience to another story, well, just steal their magical system. Well, when I say steal, I mean more like use to inspire your own. You'll take the structure, but you'll add your own quirks, your own funny spell names and powers, to make it something a lot more unique and personalized to you and your story. And there we have it, the very first part finished in this series. We have talked about a lot, and we're going to talk about a lot more in the coming videos and blog posts. I really hope that you found this episode useful and perhaps enjoyable. If there's any questions that you have, please be sure to leave them in the comments below. I'd be happy to answer them. For the writers wishing to tackle their writing project well equipped, I recommend checking out my Writer's Workshop. No matter which tier you choose in my Writer's Workshop, you'll have permanent access to all my writing courses. Although if you choose the higher tiers, you'll have personalized help from me. I'll be able to review your work and give you advice and guidance on how to improve your novel, thus giving you a greater chance of finishing your novel and having something you can be proud of. You can find links to all of this in the description below. And that brings us to the end of this video. If you enjoyed, be sure to leave a like and subscribe if you haven't already. Thank you for listening, and as always, good day, good night, and happy writing.